The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the weekend. We made it. It's Friday, March 29th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for today's show. All sorts of great stuff to get to, not the least of which is our guest today, John Payne from Show Me Cannabis Regulation out there in Missouri. They had a very favorable poll on marijuana legalization. He's going to be in here to talk all about that, as well as decriminalization, medical, everything that's happening there in Missouri, and what you can do to help if you want to see legalization in the first southern state. Boy, that would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? Also on today's show, we're going to take a look in the Northeast at Massachusetts. Their Department of Public Health just released some draft regulations for their medical marijuana program to cover dispensaries and such. And I've pored through that and found a few things that are quite disturbing. A little trip further into the Box Canyon, if you ask me. Also in Behind the Headlines today, the story of an ex-couple, a couple who are ex-CIA agents. I think they're still a couple, former CIA agents who got caught up in a raid in Kansas for the most insane of reasons that has led them to question drug war tactics by our police. Kind of interesting how when it happens to them, they're very interested in this. But we'll talk about that and Behind the Headlines. And also today, it's Rockin' Friday, so Herb Thrasher's going to be calling in, and we're going to be getting some music from December in Red today. We saw them along with Lacero and Riverpool, and who else do we see? Gordon Avenue at the Red Room had a great show with Herb Thrasher. You may have seen the repeats. We'll be showing those videos later on. And then he'll be coming in tonight live for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 o'clock tonight, 2 hours of rock and metal. I'm sure we'll talk about that show and some other albums coming out here in the rock and metal world, so stay tuned for that. Before we get to all of that, though, we have got our 420 radio news, and in the headlines today, we've got that hemp bill in Kentucky sailing through the House and the Senate. We got bad news for anybody, including Canadians, trying to make it in the United States if you're honest about your pot use. Vermont is considering marijuana decrim. A former MSNBC host has thanks for Tommy Chong and others who grew marijuana. And Rhode Island's decrim takes effect on April Fool's Day. And it's no joke. To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grove. Check out our genetic diversity at tgagenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 29th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Kentucky lawmakers overwhelmingly support hemp production and research. This from the dailychronic.net. House and Senate lawmakers on Tuesday overwhelmingly passed Senate Bill 50, which seeks to permit state-sponsored research pertaining to the cultivation of industrial hemp and imposes regulations to allow for the plant's licensed production as an agricultural commodity. Proponents of the measure acknowledge that public pressure to pass the bill helped achieve the last-minute deal. Senate Bill 50 will establish conditions and procedures for the licensing of industrial hemp growers by the Department of Agriculture. It designated the Kentucky Industrial Hemp Commission to work in concert with the State Department of Agriculture and also tasks the University of Kentucky Agricultural Experimental Station to engage in research related to hemp production. The bill passed the House by a vote of 88-4. The Senate reapproved the measure by a vote of 35-1. Senate Bill 50 now goes to the desk of Democrat Governor Steve Beshear, who has said he shares the concerns of Kentucky State Police, who oppose the bill, but has not indicated whether he intends to veto the measure. Ever try pot? Answer yes, and the U.S. won't let you in. From KPLU.org. More and more Canadians are learning the hard way that admitting to U.S. border agents that you smoked pot can bar you from entering the country forever. Immigration lawyers say some Canadians are under the mistaken impression that legalization of marijuana in Washington state has resulted in leniency by U.S. border agents here, but it hasn't. Marijuana is still an illegal substance under federal law. In an email, Thomas Schreiber, Chief Customs and Border Patrol Officer, laid out what U.S. immigration law says about who can be denied entry into the country. Under the law, you are ineligible to receive visas and ineligible to be admitted to the United States if you, quote, voluntarily admit to having committed a crime involving moral turpitude, end quote. And you are forever in a database and have to go through the expense and time of seeking a special waiver every time you want to cross the border. The Vermont House considers marijuana decriminalization bill from the Burlington Free Press. The marijuana samples were discreetly tucked in a manila envelope. Public Safety Commissioner Keith Flynn didn't ask for them to be brought out until the end of his testimony to the House Judiciary Committee and said he couldn't pass them around. Marijuana is illegal, Flynn noted, so he had to be discreet, but he wanted the committee to see what 1 and 2 ounces looked like as legislators considered decriminalizing small amounts. The definition of small amount matters, Flynn said. He said he supports decriminalization, but 2 ounces is too much. I think 1 ounce is more appropriate, Flynn told the committee. The bill that the committee is considering, H-200, calls for decriminalization of 2 ounces or less, making it a civil offense with a $100 fine. Committee Chairman Bill Lippert, Democrat of Hinesburg, said Flynn's wariness over the quantity matters to him, and that will be a key topic of discussion in the next week or so. Lippert said, however, that he thinks there is strong support in the committee and the legislature for decriminalization, and he expects the committee to vote out a bill within the next couple of weeks. Former MSNBC host Dylan Radigan thanks marijuana growers for hydroponics. Former MSNBC host Dylan Radigan thanked comedian Tommy Chong and marijuana growers for perfecting hydroponic farming technology. I'd like to issue a letter of gratitude to Tommy and all the hydroponic marijuana growers in the world, he said on the Young Turks. As much as porn made the internet, the cutting edge of hydroponic lighting and water flow and nutrient film technique that really has been perfected as a result of the marijuana industry is the very techniques that we are now benefiting to yield incredibly nutritious kale, bok choy, Swiss chard, basil, bell peppers, you pick it. So Tommy, thank you. After ending his 3-year run at MSNBC, Radigan moved to Southern California to pursue a career as an organic hydroponic farmer. He claimed the farm he now works on uses 90% less water, yet produces 3 times the amount of food compared to traditional farms. Because of the incredible investment from the marijuana industry over the past couple of decades, the available technology for hydroponic kale farmers and basil farmers like myself is absolutely stunning. And because of the legalization of marijuana in so many places, while marijuana prices are declining, kale prices are rising, he added. And that's your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 29th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at a case in Kansas of two former CIA employees and how they were raided by SWAT teams. You're listening to 420radio.org. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Welcome back, everybody. Time to go behind the headlines. It's 12 and a half after. And for today's story... Boy, what comes around goes around, doesn't it? This one's from KansasCity.com, and the title of it is Indoor Kansas Gardeners Claim Marijuana Search Was Illegal.
What?
Two former CIA employees whose Kansas home was fruitlessly searched for marijuana during a two-state drug sweep claim they were illegally targeted, perhaps because they had bought indoor growing supplies to raise vegetables.
Oh?
Adlin and Robert Hart sued this week to get more information about why sheriff's deputies searched their home in the upscale Kansas City suburb of Leawood last April 20th as part of Operation Constant Gardener. A 420 raid in Operation Constant Gardener catches two former CIA spooks who were growing tomatoes in their basement with some lights. Now, this Operation Constant Gardener was a sweep conducted by agencies in Kansas and Missouri that netted marijuana plants, processed marijuana, guns, growing paraphernalia, and cash from several other locations. The date of April 20th has long been used by marijuana enthusiasts to celebrate the illegal drug, and more recently by law enforcement for raids and crackdowns. Well, isn't that nice? If nothing else tells you that this is a culture war, then it would be law enforcement specifically choosing April 20th as a day to conduct their raids. But the Hart's attorney, Cheryl Pilate, or Pilate, one or the other, said she suspects the couple's 1,825 square foot split level was targeted because they had bought hydroponic equipment to grow a small number of tomatoes and squash plants in their basement. The suit filed in Johnson County District Court said the couple and their two children, a 7-year-old daughter and 13-year-old son, were shocked and frightened when deputies armed with assault rifles and wearing bulletproof vests pounded on the door of their home around 7:30 in the morning last April 20th. Oh, they just pounded on the door. Is that all? They didn't break it down, shoot your dog, leave you and your kids handcuffed in the pool of blood? Oh, well, consider yourselves lucky. Adlin and Robert, because this is going on in America every day. And it's stories like this that when they pop up, I file them into a little memory bank called Reasons Why Non-Pot Smokers Should Support Ending Prohibition. This is happening to two former CIA employees, and the only illegal thing, and throughout the whole story and looking through some of the other sources on this, they have, of course, no criminal record. They, you know, getting into the CIA to do, in fact, they even couldn't tell what they used to do in the CIA. You know, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you, right? They couldn't even talk about it. So obviously they've passed numerous, you know, federal security checks. So there's nothing in their background or nothing about them currently that would lead to any reasonable suspicion that they were involved in any illegal drug activity. The only thing that stands out is that they bought perfectly legal indoor grow stuff, indoor grow lights. This couple never smoked pot, didn't know anybody who smoked pot, had no attachment to pot whatsoever. They didn't bother to so they bought some grow lights. All right, let's sift through their trash. You know, they don't need a warrant for that, folks. They can go through your trash, right? Let's see if there's anything in the trash that would indicate, you know, that they'd been growing marijuana. Let's monitor them for a while. Are they buying other supplies that would seem like marijuana? No. Apparently, just from the buying of the grow lights, they go after these people. Now, another part of this would be found in the description of the upscale Kansas City suburb and 1,825 square foot split level home. Because then if you're a cop looking to get some proceeds from a forfeiture, you might be thinking, aha, grow lights, suburban home, they're turning it into a grow house. We can seize the home. We can make a big bust. That's what's going on here. And this is so commonplace in America that I can sit here and name five different cases off the top of my head, probably. Shy Calvo comes to mind, where his dog's just shot. He's the damn mayor of his town. And the SWAT teams are busting in his door and shooting his dogs. Catherine Johnston, Corey May, people who are minding their own business when a wrong address on a warrant leads to their place. In the case of Catherine Johnston, she's shot to death, 92 years old. In the case of Corey May, he shoots at the intruders while he's protecting his child, hiding behind a bed. Turns out the intruders are cops. Of course, he's in a kind of a bad neighborhood, so, you know, you don't always get to make those decisions so easily. And this is happening every day in America, and so when people want to negate or neglect what we do here day by day, talking about these stories, bringing up the need to end marijuana prohibition, refer them to this story, to these people who, minding their own business, obeying the law, nice couple, get swept up in this drug war hysteria, in this militarization of our police. You can't want to live in an America that is this way. And there's nothing about the growing and selling and buying of marijuana and using of marijuana to justify this level of force. Even if you don't particularly like it, even if you think marijuana isn't particularly a good thing, you can't justify this. It's so important this has got to end because it's spilling over into so much more. It's spilling over into raids on guitar factories and raw milk farms with the same kind of tactics, with the same kind of shock and awe, go in with body armor, you know, take down the place, kick down the doors, handcuff people, leave them on their knees, throwing people to the ground, patients, veterans. If you can't see that this is the inevitable result of trying to prohibit human nature, then you don't understand human nature. And I will never stop doing this. I will never stop standing up for the people who don't know that they're victims of the drug war. These people didn't know. Adlin and Robert Hart, they didn't know they were victims of the drug war until the SWAT team was in their home, scaring the hell out of their children. For the people who can't speak up because they have jobs,
because they've got kids, they've got mortgages, they got a wife, they got family, whatever it is that prevents them from speaking out. For the patients and for the drug war POWs who have their stories that need to be heard and don't get heard enough, I'll keep shouting them until they get heard. And fortunately, we have such a fine herb that helps relieve stress, because this can be quite stressful.
Indeed.
We're going to get to it. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Great. Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
Do you believe that crap? Huh? Do you believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
I am not a stoner. I am nothing you've heard. I'm you. We may not be happy with the world that we live in. Politicians who believe in criminalization, making deals with Big Pharma, and trading big money behind the scenes is not a way to stay in office. I will go to bat for you. I will go to Burning Man and smoke my brains out. I'm Terry Joyce, and I approve this message. I'm you.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
I'll tell you, one of the things that we are so lucky to have here in Portland, Oregon, is lots of places to see great live music and lots of great live music to see. Back in my day, you used to go see a band, they would be at a bar for a week. And then it got to be you'd see a band, they'd be there for a weekend. And then it got to be you'd see a band, one band would be there on Friday, one band would be there on Saturday. Now, you go out, you get to see four different damn bands in one night, and that's what me and Herb Thrasher did just the other night. We got him on the air here with us. Herb, tell him about the Red Room.
Oh, man, it was an amazing night. We had a great time. As you mentioned, it was four bands, and all four just seemed to have chemistry together as far as the different sets go and as far as the camaraderie between the guys, and it was just an amazing set, and it was really fun to take Flower Hour on the road to do a little, you know, testing to show that we can do some things like this. So maybe in the future we can look at more fun things like that.
Yeah, we'll stay tight with the Red Room guys, because it worked out pretty good from that location. We got interviews with all four of the bands. They're up on the Herb Thrasher YouTube page right now. And yeah, it was a good time. And we got to meet, you know, of course, we knew Lucero. We've been hanging with Lucero for forever. But we got to find out about some other new bands.
It was really good to talk with Dan and Colby from December in Red.
Yeah.
In which today it makes sense to play the rockin' song is for them, man, because these guys got a great thing going. They're on Cavity Gold Records along with Lucero. And they just did a little mini tour, and that show that Russ and I went to was part of their little mini tour that they got going on. They've got a great show scheduled right now for 420 in Seattle, and they are opening up for Bone Thugs and Harmony. So
oh, yeah.
A very different show as far as having a rap kind of headliner with rock opening acts, and look forward to hearing how that plays out.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting. And we got to talk to Scott from Cavi Gold while we were there. Sounds like they got a lot of cool stuff happening this summer.
Yeah, and so you guys definitely go check out these interviews, man. They're all on the Herb Thrasher YouTube page, and there's four interviews from that night. And as Russ mentioned, Scott, who owns Cavi Gold Records and runs the two bands and a lot of other stuff, he's got his hands full and on so many different topics. And so, very interesting cat. We're so appreciative of everything that he's doing, not only for the rock world, he does a lot for the cannabis community too, Cavi Gold, his brand.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to play a little December in Red here. The song is Arrested on Sight. Do you know any of their websites or anything like that?
Yeah, they've got a great Reverb Nation page. And so you can go there, and then they have a great Facebook page. Meaning great by the fact that they're active. They actually write and talk with people and are posting and good stuff like that. So you guys can go check them out and definitely support the music, support that Seattle scene. And I'd like to remind you guys tonight that we have a huge, heavy, heavy show on Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. We welcome Mr. Chris Barnes of 6 Feet Under. He's going to call in. They have a brand new album out called Unborn. And we're basically going to play the whole damn album throughout the two-hour show. And Barnes is going to call in, and we're going to talk with him and get his thoughts and hear about how many scars he got to make this album happen. And so look forward to that. Look forward to hearing December in Red now, and look forward to Burning Good this weekend. All you guys be safe. Turn up the music, and we'll see you tonight. Keep rocking.
All right. Thanks a lot, Herb. We'll see you tonight on the Thrasher Hour. Tonight, 8 o'clock. This is December in Red with Arrested on Sight.
To the night, to drink all the water around. Who is it?
It's me, Dave, man. Open up. I got the stuff.
Who?
It's Dave, man. Open up. I think the cops saw me come in here.
Who is it?
It's Dave, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with me.
Who?
Dave, man. Open up.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave. Come on, man. Open up. I think the cops
saw
me.
Dave's not here.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the goddamn door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Respect the law, but know your rights. And share if you can.
Ask me any question, I'm gonna plead a fifth. Unless you asking me if I wanna smoke a spliff, then I'll be coming over. I'm gonna take a lift. You know I leave you feeling like you got a touch of the gift.
Yeah, this is Brian the Red, and you're listening to 420radio.org. So get a little airy. Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
A couple of days ago, I talked about the medical marijuana bill in Illinois and how it was leading further into the Box Canyon. Today, I wanted to talk about the implementation of Massachusetts' medical marijuana initiative, and we could call this Box Canyon 2 drug test boogaloo, I guess. The first medical marijuana dispensaries in Massachusetts could be opening by the end of the year. This was just released by the Department of Public Health. This reporting is coming from, BostonHerald.com. So the agency filed some draft regulations. I got a copy of these draft regulations for the medical use of marijuana in Massachusetts and expects the final regs to be approved by the Health Council and the Secretary of State by the end of May. And so we might have dispensaries by the end of the year in Massachusetts. So this would this is a good thing, right? We got dispensaries coming out. But as you look deeper into these regulations, you find that marijuana is becoming increasingly more medical. In one case, they talk about Massachusetts has a prescription drug tracking program to prevent, addicts from doing doctor and pharmacy shopping, and they want to have cannabis treated in that particular program. So the more that we keep putting cannabis in the medical frame, the more they want to apply the medical controls to it. And that's what we're seeing with this regulation. So let me just go through some of the points that are in this Massachusetts regulations. These are the draft public regulations for medical marijuana. They're going to be calling them MMTCs, Medical Marijuana Treatment Centers. As I call them, MWIOs. Money walks in, marijuana walks out. But whatever, a dispensary, co-op, treatment center, alternate healing place, whatever. Marijuana walks in, money walks in, marijuana walks out. All right, so The requirements for these in Massachusetts are going to require each nonprofit medical marijuana organization. And right there, you already see one of the problems that we have here. Only with medical marijuana in medicine do we insist that the businesses be nonprofit. Right? Merck's not required to be nonprofit. Bristol-Myers Squibb isn't required to be nonprofit. Plenty of companies out there, you know, Humana, Aetna, a lot of profit going on in medical care, but for some reason with marijuana, it's got to be nonprofit. But anyway, these MMTCs have to operate their own cultivation and dispensing facilities. So, the closed shop, right? You get your weed from dispensary A. It's only the weed grown at dispensary A. According to their regs, this allows for uniform seed-to-sale control and maximized security. Now, this would be tighter than even what's going on in Colorado. If I'm understanding correctly, Colorado is like 70% must be grown at the medical marijuana dispensing facility. Well, I don't, what do they call them in Colorado? Anyway, here they're talking about 100%, you know, grow all of it, right? But all this leads to is restricting good strains of medicine to one particular place. Eventually, you know, people will find out that the good stuff's at this place, the bad stuff's at that place. And given the regulations they've set up for Massachusetts for how people have to register for particular dispensaries, that's going to make things kind of difficult. You got to just hope you live close enough and got to register for one of the ones with the good growers. Let's see. Also, for the MMTCs, anyone applying for registration of dispensary agents, the dispensary agent has to be 21 years old, right? So anybody working at a dispensary has to be 21 years. That's fine, right? But they also must not have ever been convicted of a felony drug offense in Massachusetts or any like violation of laws in another state. I've never understood this. Here we have marijuana growing. We're going to put together places that will be required to grow their own marijuana. But if anyone ever got caught growing their own marijuana in the past, they can't work at them. Some of the best, most talented growers out there who might have been caught, got a felony grow record, can't work at the places that will grow the marijuana. We're just going to let all that expertise go to hell because it used to be illegal to grow. Now they can't grow legally. God, I just don't understand that mentality. Here's the one that really got me, though. They were listing what requirements the MMTC should have for their employees and their workplaces, and, you know, inspections and age 21 and, you know, a license and a red, you know, you got to have a badge, you know, security cameras, whatever the hell else, right? And then I got to point number 10. Alcohol, smoke, and drug-free workplace policies. Are you freaking kidding me? The people who work at the dispensary not only can't have a felony, they got to pass a pee test. Now, I could be wrong because drug-free workplace policy does not necessarily mean random or pre-employment drug testing, even though it typically means that. Under the law, it doesn't have to mean that. So, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe drug-free workplace policy just means, you know, don't come to work high or use pot on the job. That could be. Or it could be require pee testing to work in the pot dispensary. So let's not only have not allow the people who have the most interest in growing, who just had the bad luck of getting caught, don't let them be the growers, but the guy who wants to be the bud tender or the clerk who happens to like marijuana and have a lot of interest in marijuana and can tell you all about marijuana and knows the difference between a terpene and a flavonoid. No, we don't want that guy working here. No. Let's get someone who can pass a pee test. Wow. All right. And I love this point, too, because they're listing all the requirements, the security requirements that we have to have at the Medical Marijuana Treatment Center in Massachusetts. These requirements that we have to have for security to handle a plant. 24-hour recordings from all video cameras that are available for immediate viewing by the police department upon request and are retained for at least 90 days. Recordings shall not be destroyed or altered and shall be retained as long as necessary if the FTC is aware of a pending criminal, civil, or administrative investigation or legal proceeding for which the recording may contain relevant information. And the cameras must have the ability to produce a clear, color, still photo that is a minimum of 9,600 dots per inch from any camera image, live or recorded. Wow. This is like, you know, CSI level scan down to the license plate from a satellite level photography, folks. 9,600 dots per inch. Let me give you an idea. That might not mean anything to a lot of people. Let me give you an idea. Most of the stuff you see on the web is either 72 or 96 dots per inch. Most of the stuff that you see printed out for the nice crisp printout, you know, your typical laser jet printer, 300 to 600 dots per inch. You want to get photo quality paper, photo quality printers, 2400 dots per inch, 4800 DPI. 9600 DPI is insanely good resolution that they're going to require at these MMTCs. All right, let's get to this one. Caregivers. Here's the Massachusetts draft regulation for caregivers. Got to be 21. And unless you're working in a hospice, you're like a nurse or something, right? If you're a caregiver, you may only serve one patient. Yep. So your mom's got cancer and your dad's got irritable bowel. Guess what? You can only be a caregiver for one of them. Sorry. A qualifying patient, though, may have up to two caregivers, but only one of them may grow for that patient. Right. So this, of course, is to try to stem the tide of, well, why I'm not a dispensary. I'm a caregiver for 1,000 people, one person at a time. So that's why they're doing that. They got the debilitating condition list from DPH that they don't make any changes to the debilitating condition list. That list, by the way, is cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, hep C, Lou Gehrig's disease, Crohn's disease, Parkinson's disease, and multiple sclerosis. Only when such diseases are debilitating. So if you've just got, you know, your run-of-the-mill multiple sclerosis, you got your, you know, sort of AIDS, that's not enough. It has to actually be debilitating. And other debilitating conditions as determined in writing by a qualifying patient certifying physician. And all DPH added to this was to define the word debilitating, clarifying that medical marijuana is intended for use in patients with serious conditions, not your, you know, trivial hepatitis C, you know, something serious. DPH also in the regulations is recommending that 10 ounces is what a personal 60-day supply is. 10 ounces is a 60-day supply. So 1 ounce should get you by for 6 days. An ounce for 6 days should be enough for anyone. That's a half ounce every 3 days, right? That should be fine. Half ounce is, what, 14 grams every 3 days. So maybe 5 grams a day. That should be enough for you. That's all you need. You only need 5 days, 5 grams a day. But physicians would have the authority to increase the amount of the 60-day supply in limited circumstances. So if you've got one of those serious cases of AIDS, now, if you've got really debilitating Lou Gehrig's disease, then maybe you could ask permission. Could I please have permission to have more than 5 grams a day? Now, looking through this as well, I put another note here, is that before certifying a qualifying patient, a certifying physician must utilize the Massachusetts Prescription Monitoring Program, unless otherwise specified by the department, to review the qualifying patient's prescription and medical marijuana certification history. So before we're even going to consider giving you marijuana, we're going to run you through a database. We're going to run you through some tracking and analysis here to make sure you're not just a dirty doper, you know, just trying to get your weed. Not make sure that you're not any, you know, one of those people, right? So you're already guilty until proven innocent, basically. And then once you're proven innocent, then you may have as much as 5 grams a day, maybe. That's as much as we can handle. Okay. But that's, of course, if you're over the age of 18. If you're a child, right? If you're Brave Michaela in Massachusetts, if you're Alex Eccles in Massachusetts, then the Department of Public Health proposes highly restrictive model for access for those less of 18 years of age. Guardian approval. Now, guardian approval may not sound like much. You might think, well, of course, you know, your parent should, you know, approve their kid getting medical marijuana. But when you think of those families where there might be a divorce and one parent and they've got kind of a shared custody and one parent's for it and the other parent's not, how does that work out with the guardian approval in Massachusetts? Had a sneeze coming on there. Excuse me. I think it might be coming back. We're doing it live. So they've got requiring guardian approval and certification by two physicians. Got to have two doctors approve you if you're under the age of 18, one of whom must be a pediatrician or pediatric specialist. And you know how hard it is to find a pediatrician, pediatric specialist who's willing to sign for medical marijuana? That's part of the problem. Why they have to go to other clinics is because they can't find one that's willing to do so, because recommending marijuana for a kid is already taboo enough, is already restricted enough. So let's make it a highly restrictive model. Let's make it even more restrictive for some kid with cancer, some kid with autism, you know, violent, bloody seizures. Let's make it more difficult to get him something. That makes a lot of sense. We also have, for qualifying patients who have already received a written recommendation from a physician, because remember, Massachusetts has medical marijuana already. They're doing it. This is just a matter of finalizing the regs for dispensaries, right? So for those people who already have recommendations, they're already growing. No further actions needed at this time. The law allows a qualifying patient to cultivate a supply of marijuana for personal medical use until DPH finalizes regulations and implements the program. So enjoy the medicine you're growing for now, because as soon as DPH gets around to putting these dispensaries together, you're not going to have that right. In fact, what you're going to have to do, and this is further in the recommendation in these regulations, is you're going to have to apply for what they're going to call a hardship cultivation license. You're going to have to actually prove that they need to give you an exemption, that they need to allow you to grow instead. And you have to prove that it's too hard for you to go to the dispensary. It's too hard. You don't have a caregiver to take you there. It's too hard for you to get there yourself. You don't make enough money to afford what's at the dispensary. And then maybe they will grant you a hardship exemption for your use of medicine. And this is just the same kind of hoops that are going to happen. They're going to continue to happen so long as we keep trying to separate people by who's sick enough to have compassion for and who's healthy enough to put in a cage. They're going to have to keep tightening the noose and cutting down the loopholes, closing the doors to make sure to try to keep all the potheads out, because it would be the worst thing ever if somebody healthy was using marijuana and we couldn't punish them. That would be awful. So in order to maintain that paradigm of being able to punish adults who choose to use a substance safer than alcohol, in order to keep that going, we're going to have to make it harder for an 18-year-old or a 12-year-old to treat their leukemia puking with cannabis. In order for us to try to stop the adults from smoking marijuana, we're going to have to make sure that you can only be a caregiver for one person. Maybe you've got the ability, maybe you're a great grower, and you'd have the ability, if you were allowed to do so, you could care for 24 people. You could bring health and relief and an end to pain and suffering to 24 people, but since one of those 24 might not be sick enough, we're going to restrict you to one. We're going to keep this genie in the bottle as much as we can. We're going to restrict it to as few people as we can. Does this make any kind of sense for how we deal with medicine, how we deal with a non-toxic herb? Treating it like it's plutonium. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to try to get John Payne on the line. We weren't able to get him at the regular time. We'll see if we get him now. If not, we'll be back for some chat. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belden Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Just about 7 minutes to the top of the hour, and unfortunately going to be unable to get John Payne from Show Me Cannabis Regulation on the line, but we were going to talk a little bit about that poll that just came out showing 50% support for cannabis legalization in the state of Missouri. And, you know, a point I wanted to make about it is how none of that would have been possible without the hard work of some really dedicated activists in Missouri. You know, a couple of years ago, was it a couple of years? Was it a year ago? Time, I can't even tell anymore. But there was that tornado in Joplin. And at the time, I was the normal outreach coordinator and was working with Kelly Maddie out there with Joplin Normal. And his house was literally in the path of the tornado. I mean, just completely uprooted. His whole family, you know, devastated by this natural disaster. And a few months later, I got to go out there at the, they had a cannabis revival out there in Joplin. They had, you know, six different normal chapters from three different states showing up. They had a big fundraiser to help everyone, help the victims of the tornado. And it just stunned me. You know, I was like, wow, what a tough place to be a marijuana reformer, first of all. You know, Missouri, not exactly easy. Second of all, to have your entire, I mean, Kelly drove me to where his house used to be. It's just flat. There's just, you know, the outline, the brick outline of the foundation, right? And to think that, you know, he went through all that and still after it, you know, because afterwards you could think, all right, look, if you needed a sign, a tornado taking your house is kind of a sign, right? So if you were looking for a sign that maybe, you know, being a marijuana reformer wasn't the right thing to do, or you're wasting your time, you need to grow up, whatever it might have been, well, a tornado might have been something like that, right? Tornado would be pretty high up there on the list of signs. But no, after the tornado, he kept on keeping on, putting together that rally. That cannabis revival that ended up going to it. As far as I know, he's still active with Joplin Normal and working to, you know, end prohibition. And it's so many people like that that I meet, you know, that I've gone all around the country. I meet these people. You know, I meet Sharon in Georgia, and I meet her daughter who, you know, 7 years ago had a gun at her head. People who 7 years ago would have never thought they would be marijuana activists or involved in the drug war in any way. And yet, you know, there they are, fighting hard for it in a place that's really hard to fight. I think of, I think of Libra out there in Iowa, you know, trying to be a teacher and then getting outed, so to speak, and all the trials and tribulations she's gone through because of this, because she's found what's true about this and what's true for her health and her glaucoma and can't stand up or cannot not stand up to the government and to the lies anymore. You know, I think of guys like Tim Martin, you know, out in Denver, who's had his troubles with the law, and Ganja John with his health issues. He still comes out of it and wants to do this. And, you know, as far as my personal, you know, experience with marijuana, aside from, you know, the whole drug test story I've got, not being able to have the best job in the world that I wanted at the time anyway. Otherwise, you know, I haven't really been much of a victim of the drug war. Oh, sure, I've had to work you know, jobs that paid me less than I was worth and so on. But man, I hear these stories. I hear these people. I meet that guy, that Jacob Jones out in, was it San Bernardino? The guy who's on the cannabis, whose dad in, was it Kentucky, Tennessee, one of them, where his dad was shot in front of him on his porch. And it just, you know, it convinces me that no matter what happens, no matter how, who ends up, how I end up making a buck doing this or why or however, it just gets me up every day to want to do this job. Is for you folks out there that are listening, who've been loyal listeners, some of you all the way back to 2008, some before me even, listened to the old Chris Goldstein show, that it convinces me once again that it's the right choice, that doing this is the right thing, and that getting the word out and having a community and having a cannabis radio station, if you will, is the right thing to do. And there was one other thing that kind of, you know, if you, signs are there if you look for them. And so there was a sign at Frankie's that kind of convinced me I was in on the right track too. Because for a long time, I've joked about how what I wanted to be in the cannabis community was Lynn Thigpen from the Warriors. It's an obscure reference, but work with me. There's that 1979, was it 1979? I think the movie The Warriors was from 1979, gang movie from New York. It's unimportant, but serving the purpose of the Greek chorus, kind of a narrator to the movie, was Lynn Thigpen, this actress, African-American actress. You've seen her in a million things. You'd go, oh yeah, her? I'm not going to bother to try to remember what else she was in. But anyway, all you see of her through the whole thing is just the microphone, you know, like this. You just see the microphone and her lips, you know, and she'd come on in between scenes. Hey, sounds like the Warriors made their way up to the east side. It's time that the Fury's going to talk to, you know, and she'd kind of narrate what was going on in the movie, right? And so I used to joke that I wanted to be like Lynn Thigpen in the Warriors and just kind of be that voice of this movement, of all these gangs, the MPPs and the Normals and everybody that's fighting for marijuana legalization, that I would be that voice to, you know, rally the troops and tell the stories and get everyone motivated. So when I went to Frankie's up in Olympia, what movie do they have running on an endless loop on their big screen TVs? Why, yes, come out and play. So I'm going to keep playing. That's all the time we got here for Hour 1. Remember, Monday, no new live show because it is Easter Monday. We'll be back Tuesday with more news, views, and interviews for you in the cannabis community. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.